And this morning, my message is Father Knows Best, or The Father Knows Best. I'd like to read with you from Acts chapter 3, verse 18 through 23. And I'll be reading, I believe this is the New King James, but it might be a little different from yours. Acts chapter 3, verse 18. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who have come after him also proclaim these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. This morning, we're going to light the first candle. This is the candle of prophecy. And each Sunday from now till Christmas Eve, we'll be lighting a candle. This one represents prophecy. Why do we light the first candle in the Advent season as the prophet's candle? And that is because the prophecy is how it began. Jesus was prophesied. He was predicted that he would come. And so the people were looking for the Messiah to come. This was not something that they were not aware of. The Jewish people thought that this would be a great time of victory for them. They looked for the Messiah. And even in the day when Jesus was here, they were looking for a Messiah who would take the Romans out, who would set up the real kingdom. And the new kingdom would be a kingdom set up by the Messiah himself to rule over even the Romans. You see, they didn't get it. They were looking for a ruler. They had been told clearly what that Messiah would look like and what that Messiah would do. I want to read next with you from Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 53, the prophecy of that coming Messiah. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender root and like a root out of a dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we beheld him in low self-esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our sufferings, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and a sheep before a shearer is silent. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And through the Lord, though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Yet after he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was punished. He was assigned to a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offspring of sin, he will see his offspring, prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. That was doubled up a little bit. But I want you to know that that was the last paragraph was to say to you that this was why he came. It was predicted in Isaiah he would be a suffering servant. He would be crushed. He would be abused. He would be greatly rejected. Yet the Jews missed the point of who Jesus was. But hasn't that been how it's been throughout history? In every generation, people, cultures rewrite who Jesus is. They want Jesus to be something different than he is. They want him to fit their mold. And their mold for Jesus in those days was quite different than what he truly was. He came for something different. Jesus was for some kind of new something that they had no idea. And it was, as he came as a servant, not a ruler. A servant who was completely obedient to the Father. His disciples were to be servants as he was, even to the point of suffering. In Philippians chapter 2, 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God sent his Son as a servant to honor him, to bring glory to the Father. Yesterday, I told you I went to the funeral of little Levi White, who was 10 days old, and we had the service at Crescent, although that was not the teacher's home church. So there were two churches there, and it was a very unusual funeral, but I really gained a lot from it. You see, she had four boys. This was her fifth boy. And even though she had other boys, and even though he was very young, it broke her heart to lose her child. Her funeral service, though, that she asked for was a funeral service that had the emphasis on the father, that the father's will is good, that the father knows best. In every situation that we come into, the Father knows what is best. Following Christ Jesus means that we are forgiven, cleansed, made righteous in Jesus, saved, and bound for eternal heaven. But it's also a time when we are hard-pressed from all sides. We find that suffering and persecution become a part of the Christian walk. For you see, God called us to a life of servanthood, which can mean suffering and persecution. And to understand that actually brings the glory of the Lord. You see, it is in persecution and suffering that God's glory is released. And that's the most one of the things that I really struggle with as a human being. How does persecution or suffering bring the glory of God? It's because it brings us to a point that it becomes nothing of me but all of God. There is nothing left of me because my suffering has put it all in God. Yesterday, as I talked with Miss White after the service, and she did some things in the funeral service that I certainly could not do. In their service, they had an open casket with the baby at the beginning of the service, and they came down and viewed the baby. That would be very hard. But then they showed videos of the baby, the 10 days the baby lived, and they showed the last moments of the baby's life in the video, as well as the goodbye kisses they had for the baby. I had never experienced anything like that, but when I looked at Miss White and when I talked to her after, she said, to know that I had 10 days with my child brought glory to God. It brought me great joy. And it was during the Thanksgiving season. And I'm so thankful I had 10 days with my child. I don't know if I would have that same viewpoint. I think I would struggle with that. But she had come to the understanding that the Father knows best. That the Father has a plan. And even the plan that has suffering in it is best for us and best for his kingdom. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experience in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And that last part is so key. Whenever we find that we are near death, there is not much left. It is in those moments that we realize that we serve a God who raises the dead and gives life to those who found that life is gone. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 through 21. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. This woman yesterday, this teacher, taught me what the glory of God was and the fact that we are here for one purpose. Why, you know, I've said this before, but I've often wondered, all right, so we got saved. Why don't we just all go on to heaven? Because God wants to bring his glory into our life. He wants us to seek a walk with him such that the glory of God is revealed in us to other people, that others might come to him. You see, there is no one that's going to come to God until the glory of God is revealed in us. Well, why are people going to come to God? I remember my childhood and seeing something different about my mom and dad, and it drew me. The glory of God in their life drew me. The glory of God is what God is trying to get to in our lives. He wants the glory to come out. And I hate to say this, but the glory of God most of the time is exhibited greatest in our suffering and our persecution. I've used this illustration before, but I just believe it is so important. In the early 2000s, I went to the Ukraine, the country of my family origins, and on a mission trip. We were to leave out of Charlotte, and my wife was with me, and we went to eat at a pancake house. And when I did, I said, I need to speak to my oldest daughter. I haven't spoken to her. I need to hear her voice before I leave. And so I spoke to her on the phone. And when I spoke to my daughter, she cried out and she said, Daddy, Daddy, Guy's dead. And I said, Guy? What guy? And she said, Guy's dead. And I realized she was talking about her boyfriend that she had been dating. And I talked to her some more and found out that he had been found on the, he had gone jogging that morning and had been found dead on the side of the road. And I'm supposed to leave the country for 14 days. I can't leave the country for 14 days with my daughter brokenhearted like that. How do I do that? I can't do that. And so I looked at my wife and I said, what am I going to do? And she looked at me and she said, I don't know. What are we going to do? And so I called my dad. My dad was my wisdom for many years. And he said, do you think God called you to go overseas? I said, yeah. Do you think God had everything planned out for you to go? I said, yeah. And he said, are you the leader of the group? I said, yeah. And he said, how close was your daughter and this boy? And I said, well, they had just started dating. And he said, well, let me just say this. Get in prayer, ask God what to do, and then do it. And don't worry, because God's got a plan. The Father knows best. I began to pray, and in that pancake house in Charlotte, North Carolina, I decided I was going to go to the Ukraine. I called my daughter back, and there was family there who was comforting her, and so I said, okay. Anyway, I got in the plane, and I was distraught. I said, I still don't know if I'm any good to go on a mission trip. I'm brokenhearted. I'm really suffering, and I don't know if anybody who's suffering as much as I'm suffering is any good to go on a mission trip. And as the plane took off, I listened to some music, and the music was a hymn, and it was by the Gaithers, and I was comforted in that. But we ran into a thunderstorm and had to go north of Detroit, up around the lakes and back around, and finally, when we came in on the backside, it was nearly an hour later than what we were supposed to. And then we landed. We had 15 minutes to get to our plane that was taking off overseas, and we couldn't make it. So the plane took off. We were stuck in Detroit for the night, and we spent the night. I was able that night to call my daughter and talk to her a long time. The next morning, I was able to get up and call her because we didn't leave till the next afternoon. God had given me two more days to talk to my daughter before I left. When that plane finally took off, I was going, okay, God, this, you know, I still was discouraged and wondering, why in the world did you let this happen? I mean, see, you need people who are really strong and ready to go for Jesus and powerful and just close to God and have powerful message to preach and sing. But I'm broken. God led me to this scripture that we just read. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation wakes in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. God said this, and we landed in Poland, Warsaw, Poland, and we had to wait a day for the next plane into the Ukraine. And while we were waiting there, they had a parade, and the parade was going down the streets. And I'm sitting, it was Liberation Day, and I remembered, this is liberation from, you remember, the Nazis. And Warsaw was the place they had the ghettos where the Jewish people were kept there till they were exterminated. How much persecution and sorrow was there? And I suddenly began to realize God was pointing this out to me. He said, through the suffering and the persecution, God received glory in the end. And the kingdom of God was expanded. And God, the only way for the glory of God to be expanded is through suffering and persecution. And those people in the Ukraine don't need a good preacher. Those kids in the Ukraine don't need a good singer. What they need is they need a man who's broken, who is poured out, who's poured out so much that the glory of God comes out. And as I walked the streets in that small town of Torchinovichi, Ukraine, for a little over a week, and met with children, and we had a lot of children's ministry things there, the last day I walked up and there were three or four parents standing there in the streets, and my interpreter said, they're talking about you. And I said, should I walk up or what should I do? And he said, come on. So we walked up, and one of the men said something, and he said, this man says he never had seen the glory of God in the streets of this city till y'all came. And then a lady said something, and he says, and this lady said she'd never seen the glory of God in her children's eyes till this day. And I suddenly realized, God knows best. The Father has a big plan that we certainly wouldn't choose that plan. But it's God's plan. It's how God works stuff. And through struggles and persecution, through trials that we go through, we are brought into the glory of God that transforms us, transforms other people, transforms nations, and transforms worlds. By the way, there has never been a nation of people that came under the revival and the movement of God that did not come through people. Didn't just fall down out of heaven except one time at Pentecost. But even then, it was through the disciples, and the glory of God spread through the disciples. My friends, what I'm saying is, if you sit there and say, I want this nation changed, God is saying, then do what I call you to do. Be an obedient servant, and the world will be changed. It must be changed, but it will be changed through you, through me. As a suffering servant, the world will be changed, but only through that. I looked and the glory of God was all over that place yesterday. The power of God was all over that place yesterday. That Levi White had a purpose in life. It was to transform two churches. It was to transform people's lives. And he did more in 10 days than some of us have done in 11 dozen years, how old ever you are. I want you to know God has a plan. He knows best. If you were to come to me and say, well, what's my plan? I'd say, I don't know. And you won't know. But his plan is the best for you. Trust the Lord. Trust the Father with your struggles and your suffering. Trust the Father. When there are trials, trust the Father. When there is sickness, trust the Father. When there is heartache, trust the Father. When there is failure, trust the Father. When there are dark nights, trust the Father. When there are troubles, trust the Father. When there are victories, trust the Father. When there are successes, trust the Father. When there is strength, trust the Father. When there is wealth, trust the Father. When there is health, trust the Father. When there is love, when there is hope, when there is peace, when there is joy, trust the Father. The Father knows best. This is why you were left here. That the glory of God might be seen in you. And this Christmas, if I had to say anything, remember what the prophets had to say, that your Messiah, the one that you follow, was a suffering servant who suffered for others and calls us to the same call.